This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, the 28th day of January 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums. Later on this edition of Ozarks at Large, Three Penny Acre in the Furman Garner Performance Studio. The band will be part of the next Theater Squared production, Sundown Town, which opens next week. We'll hear about their first ever experience on stage in a play, and we'll hear them play live. That's Three Penny Acre later on this edition of Ozarks at Large. First on this edition of Ozarks, when you're sick, especially with a debilitating illness, the last thing you want or are even able to do is clean house. That's where a nonprofit Texas-based foundation, Cleaning for a Reason, comes in. Their staff matches sick clients with licensed and insured local cleaning companies who render their services free of charge. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has this report.
Pam Morin is a Fayetteville school teacher, wife, and busy mother of three tow-headed children, Ashton 12, Alexa 9, and Benjamin 7. They're away at school right now. She says last summer, out of the blue, she was diagnosed with breast cancer.
I have just completed my treatment, and I am now cancer-free.
Pam wears a scarf beneath a ball cap to conceal the easing ravages of cancer therapy. Otherwise, she looks fit as a fiddle. Next week, she will even return to teaching rowdy sixth graders at Fayetteville Christian School. But during 4 months of treatment, she was wasted, and the house was a wreck, she said.
Probably the hardest thing, well, for sure, the hardest thing to maintain was dusting and mopping the floors and vacuuming now the day and laundry.
Family and friends pitched in with cooking and running errands and things like that. And then one emailed a link to a website called Cleaning for a Reason.
So I clicked on it, and they have a little application that you fill out. And I filled out the application, and then it goes through some type of approval process. And then Donna contacted me to come and clean my house. So it was a very easy process, and it was pretty, I think the turnaround was really fast too. I don't remember waiting any great length of time.
Donna is Donna Scobie, and she's not a house cleaner by trade. She operates Ready, Set, Stage, home staging and redesign for Northwest Arkansas's real estate market.
And basically what I do in my business is help homeowners get their houses ready for market to sell. If it's owner-occupied, we go in and we work with what they already have in helping them. And if it's vacant, we take in the furniture and accessories and set up the home. So, you know, and we can do just about anything that requires to be done as far as cleaning or helping to pack and declutter and do, you know, everything like that for them.
Donna Scobie started up her company in November 2007 and has staged hundreds of homes. Cleaning and organizing are second nature to Donna, so is helping people.
And I was diagnosed with breast cancer about 6.5 years ago. And so when I came across the Cleaning for a Reason organization, it was just something that really touched me because I knew what these women are going through. You know, there's several different types of cancer and several different types of treatment. And I was very fortunate that mine was caught very early and I did not have to go through chemo. So I didn't have that part of it, but I did have surgery, and so I just knew how important this was to these women because I've been there. And so when I found the organization, again, you know, I really felt like God spoke to me and telling me that this was something I need to be involved in.
Each time she cleans for a client, Donna reports back to Cleaning for a Reason, headquartered in Texas. Calls to the foundation went unanswered. But Cleaning for a Reason not only checks out, it's the only charity of its kind in the United States. Established in 2006, it counts 826 partners in 50 states and Canada and has helped more than 4,000 women, equaling over $1 million in services rendered for free. Along with the Ready, Set, Stage, the Cleaning Ladies in Benton, a la carte cleaning services in Fort Smith, plus the Cleaning Authority and Superior Cleaning Systems in Little Rock, are helping women stricken with cancer across the state. And all partner cleaning services must follow strict protocols.
To become a partner with Cleaning for a Reason, you do have to be a legitimate cleaning company, because they do require insurance in order to be bonded. And if you have employees working for you, then they have to have a background search done. So, but the process is just very simple to sign up for. You just have to prove, you know, your insurance and everything. So, and they do require, I think it's like $20 a month donation to the organization, just to help, you know, with the expense, because it is a nonprofit. And but other than that, that's about all there is to it. And, you know, as Pam said, when a patient goes through and gets approved, then I'm contacted by them, and then I contact that patient, and we set up the cleanings.
So not only does Donna Scobie donate her time to help women with cancer living in Fayetteville and Springdale, she also donates her hard-earned money to the foundation. She's been a partner for 6 months now and has helped 4 clients, which also has protocols.
We come in once a month for 4 months. And actually, each cleaning partner can decide how many hours they want to spend. But what I do is I tell the patients that I will spend up to 3 hours each time when I come. And we really only do just kind of general maintenance cleaning, you know, the floors and dustings and the bathrooms and the kitchen. So we don't really do any heavy-duty cleaning, but you know, that's still a big help. And, you know, I set that limit because I don't know, you know, what the house looks like or anything when I'm actually talking to the patient, you know, or how big the house is, because I can't spend, you know, 6 or 8 hours at a house, you know, doing that. So I have to set that limit.
Donna asks her clients when she first connects with them to prioritize chores. And she says the women are utterly grateful, plus appreciate her empathy, which comes from experience. But one of the reasons she's agreed to appear in this story is that she wishes to encourage others to become partners.
There is a need for other cleaning companies to come aboard, and you know, you're required as a partner also, I didn't mention this earlier, to take on a minimum of 2 patients at a time. But still, if you look at what I'm doing, okay, that's 6 hours a month and $20 a month, you know. Just about anybody can give that.
But the best news here is that Pam Morin is cancer-free. Plus, get this.
Well, Donna has been so helpful cleaning my house. My husband has decided to hire her to continue to come back and clean. So that definitely is another blessing.
Good for business and a recovering psyche. Reporting for Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
And what was, how was it cleaning this place?
How was it cleaning?
Yeah, how was it cleaning this place? Was it a total mess?
No. No, Pam's house was very easy to clean. I will admit she was behind on her dusting, like she said, but...
If you'd like to know more about Cleaning for a Reason in this area, you can visit Donna Scobie's homepage, ReadySetStageNWA.com. That's ReadySetStageNWA.com. This is Ozarks at Large.
Hello, this is Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz, every Friday night from 10 till midnight. On tonight's program, I will feature an exclusive interview with jazz vocalist Kurt Elling, who will be performing at the Walton Arts Center on February 5th. So we'll hear the interview and some music from Mr. Elling. We'll also hear music from Cannonball Adderley, Donald Byrd, Kyle Eastwood, Charles Lloyd, and much more. All of this and more on Shades of Jazz. That's Friday night at 10 o'clock.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor of thecitywire.com. And Michael, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me back.
The 88th General Assembly is now nearing the end of its third week. Some interesting things over the past few days, including a bill that would make invalid the federal mandate for everyone to have health insurance going down in committee. Kind of a surprise?
Well, it was straight along party lines, so I wasn't surprised at that. Although, talking to some folks who are watching the process, they were wondering if Arkansas Democrats, let me back up, Arkansas Democrats obviously are different than National Democrats, so they thought maybe there would be a few of these more conservative Democrats who had maybe watched what happened November 2nd of last year and thought, I might want to be on the other side of this. But anyway, it was straight down, almost straight down party lines. There were two Democrats that voted for it. And what the bill from Representative Meeks would have done, just to clarify, is it would have challenged a key principle, which is forcing everyone to buy insurance. It's a key principle of the federal health care law. And what this said is that in Arkansas, Arkansans don't have to do that. But it was shot down, and Meeks, who a Republican from Conway, says he's going to look at it and try to bring it up again. But it was a 12-7 vote against. Tracy Pinarch here in Fort Smith voted against it, and Stephanie Malone, a Republican, Pinarch is a Democrat, and Stephanie Malone, a Republican here in Fort Smith, voted for it. So pretty much down party lines. There was not a Republican that voted against it, I can tell you that.
Arkansas's Surgeon General Joe Thompson spoke against it and was pretty adamant about it.
Well, yes, and here's what's interesting, Kyle. The folks that spoke against the bill were all made it clear that they weren't speaking toward the merits of the federal health care law. They were speaking, they were saying, look, let's let the federal judicial system decide this. There are 26 states that have now signed on to try to overturn key parts of the law. And so it's funny, the Surgeon General, the folks at the AG's office, no one stood up to defend it and said it was a great law. So I thought that was an interesting part of the debate. They weren't defending the law. They were just saying, let's let the national legal action take its course before we jump in with both feet. So that was an interesting part of the dynamic.
Anything new as the city continues to figure out what the future of the convention center in Fort Smith is going to be?
Well, we'll know yes and no. On Tuesday of this week, the Fort Smith City Board of Directors sent a draft contract back to the city administrator, Ray Gossick, and to Claude Legree, who's head of the Fort Smith A&P, to try to come up with a better contract. The one they have now is a decent contract. It just had some boilerplate language in it that didn't fit the specifics between the city and the A&P. But just to give your listeners an update, the problem we have with the Fort Smith Convention Center is that the state turnback funding ended this year in June of 2010, and that was about $1.8 million a year. And we've known for 10 years. We've known for 10 years this is going to happen. And the Fort Smith City Board, for a variety of reasons, none of them very good reasons, never fixed the funding problem. They knew they were going to have a funding problem at this point. And they just kept kicking the can down the road, so to speak. And, well, the road has ended. And so they're talking about a 1% prepared food tax, which is what every other community in Arkansas and around the country really has, at least a 1% restaurant tax to help support their convention center and tourism operations. So they're thinking about going that route, but to do that, the A&P has to manage the convention center, so that's where they are. They're working on that contract.
The state unemployment rate came out recently, and we're right where we were.
Yes. I don't know whether that's good news or bad news. I mean, I guess the bad news is it didn't go down. The good news is it didn't go up.
It's your classic half-full glass, isn't it?
Yes. So we stayed at 7.9%, which marked the 22nd consecutive month that the state of Arkansas has been above 7%. That's never a good thing. But, the way the civilian labor force works and total employment, we did lose jobs. We are down in the number of people employed or up in the number of people unemployed, however you want to look at that. So compared to December 2009, there are 3.1% more people unemployed in Arkansas. But again, the way the civilian labor force works and the other numbers, the unemployment rate was unchanged at 7.9%.
And planes are coming back. Not that you have airplanes, of course, all the time at Fort Smith, but more specifically, an air show returning to Fort Smith.
Yes, and it's going to be very nice. The Blue Angels, but of course, the Air Force folks will kill me for that slip. The Thunderbirds will be returning in October 1st and 2nd of this year. Last summer, the air show was canceled because the 188, which manages the air show, you know, they have the physical and assets and the people to manage it. They were called. They were overseas during that time. So they had to cancel the air show, and so now it's back. And it draws close to 200,000 people over a two-day period. It is a heck of a show, and it's a free show. It's one of the organizers say it's the last free air show in the country. Now, I haven't researched that to know it's true, but I suspect that if it's not the last, it's one of the very few free air shows, and you've got the Thunderbirds, and it's a full day of events in the air and static displays. So I know I personally enjoy it. Being a former licensed pilot, I love going out there and trying to, dream of what could have been if I would have stuck with that career.
Well, and I don't know what this says about me, but you know what else is going to be involved this year? It's something
the
called
bus?
Yeah, the bus. The jet bus.
I have never had to be to school that fast. Have you, Kyle?
No.
But I needed a jet bus. This thing goes 350 miles an hour.
It's a school bus.
Yeah, I can't imagine what the safety concerns would be. That sounds pretty safe, don't you think? It only has three seats, so I think that's an efficiency problem, number one.
Well, I think, you have the advantage of going 350 miles an hour or whatever it can go. It's the brakes that would worry me.
Yes. Yeah, it's what do people say? It's not the fall, but it's a sudden stop at the end that kills people?
That's right.
Yeah, that's so. Yeah, I think that's what you would have. But you could definitely get to school a lot faster.
And the air show is, what, the 1st and 2nd of October?
Yes, sir. First thing. It's usually in the summer, but it was the 1st, and there's a little bit of some criticism because it laps with a little bit with Arkansas-Oklahoma State Fair. I don't see that being a problem until last weekend of the fair, but it was the first date they could get for the Thunderbirds. And, when you're a headline act, when you build your show around a headline act, you have to go with their date.
Michael Tilley is the editor of the City Wire. It covers politics, business, culture, sports, and more for Fort Smith, Western Arkansas, and the rest of the state. Michael, thank you for your time.
All right. Well, you're welcome.
This is Friday Ozarks at Large, 28th day of January, the final Friday of the month. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Becca Bacon-Martin, the editor of What's Up, founded Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
And usually I'm giving you grief about how time is going too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
January has dragged on forever. Let's get on to the cool stuff in February. In the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking a lot about a play called Sundown Town.
In fact, later in this edition of Ozarks at Large, we'll hear Threepenny Acre in our studio.
There you go.
They're in the production.
The show premieres next Friday, the 4th, at Theater Squared in Fayetteville. It's going to generate a lot of buzz.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a world premiere tonight that won't get that much attention. It, too, is a new script by a University of Arkansas graduate named Will Grayson. And it's being presented in this really different, up-close, in-your-face, personal kind of way. It's called The Chamber. And it's the story of two friends and roommates who have to find a way to reconcile at least what I consider irreconcilable differences. And it's also an interesting presentation because they're basically doing an hour-long play real time.
And it's in the round because
of
the space, the warehouse, that's now the Be Unlimited Theater.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the round.
And you're right up in their face. Great quote from Will Grayson. He says, "It's hard to get a 21-year-old excited about All My Sons or A Streetcar Named Desire because the characters are dealing with problems that they can't immediately understand. They want this aggressiveness and this in-your-face mentality that they're used to from movies."
Mm-hmm.
So it really is going to bring a whole new audience to live theater here, and how cool is that?
Tonight at 8?
Tonight at 8. Tomorrow, no Sunday, so don't count on that Sunday afternoon thing. Tomorrow at 2 and 8. The Be Unlimited Theater is at 612 West Center Street in Fayetteville. Tickets are $10, and a portion of the proceeds goes to Seven Hills Homeless Shelter.
Absolutely.
And you can find out more at step1theater.org. Now, also tonight, completely different, Voices from the Titanic presented by the Theater Company at the Lyric Theater in Harrison. It's at 7 today and tomorrow and 2 on Sunday. Tickets are $10. Rani Arbo and her backing band Daisy Mayhem are at Fort Smith 2nd Street Live tonight for a show at 7:30. Kevin Kinder struggled with classifying the group. They do a little classical, they do a little folk, they do a little rock, they do a little bluegrass. But the Boston Globe has described them as playful and profound, and the Boston Herald called them one of America's most inventive string bands. Tickets are $30, and you can find out more at 719-8783. Joshua Bell is at the Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville.
Tonight.
Well-renowned young violinist. He's playing at 8 o'clock, and tickets start at $48. And tomorrow, something yummy for your tummy, it's Le Chocolate Feast at the mall in Fayetteville. If you've never been, you buy a box.
And then?
And then you go around and put things in the box. 11 area restaurants, bakeries, and sweet shops are offering up chocolate goodies from 10 to 3. Tickets are $10, and you can find out more at 521-6151. Tomorrow's Drumline Live at the Walton Arts Center.
Two shows.
4 and 8. Tickets start at $30. Tomorrow night, an evening of jazz and classical piano featuring Israeli pianist, help me, Yaniv Tobenhaus.
Okay.
I apologize if I butchered that. And his jazz combo, that happens at 7 at Temple Shalom in Fayetteville.
Right.
And tickets are $18. Byron Stripling's tomorrow night.
That's right. In Fort Smith.
With the Fort Smith Symphony.
Sounds of New Orleans.
Yeah, how can you miss that? 7:30 and tickets are $15 to $35. And tomorrow night in Eureka Springs, Ja Kings, who's a Springfield, Missouri-based touring reggae artist, whose real name is Alexander Kofi, but don't tell that I told you, he's going to celebrate the release of a new CD called African Diaspora at 9:30 at Squid and Whale. And there's no cover charge.
A bunch of stuff
always,
this weekend.
Always.
That's just in the next 24 hours or so.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Sunday we have whole different things to talk about.
You'll be talking with Ithi Agnihotri-Madulker on Sunday.
And how cool is that?
It's very cool. And I will talk to you again on Monday.
Yes, you will.
Becca Bacon-Martin is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
Singer-songwriter Sarah McLachlan was born on this date in 1968 in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. Since her 1988 debut album Touch, McLachlan's atmospheric folk-pop music has gained a devoted following in Canada and around the world. Her 1991 album Solace showed a great leap in songcraft. In 1992, McLachlan traveled to Cambodia and Thailand to work on a Canadian-sponsored documentary on poverty and child prostitution called World Visions. Inspired by her experiences, she wrote her 1993 album Fumbling Toward Ecstasy. Possession, a single from the album, broke the top 100 and received considerable airplay, particularly on modern rock radio. In 1997, McLachlan released the album Surfacing, which debuted at number 2 on the pop albums chart. The singer founded the hugely successful Lilith Fair, a traveling festival of women in music, in 1997. Since then, the tour has been an annual event. McLachlan's 1999 album Mirror Ball was a critical and popular favorite. In February of 2000, she collected a Grammy Award for Best Female Pop Vocal Performance for the song I Will Remember You, originally featured in the 1995 film The Brothers McMullen and included on Mirror Ball.
I can't sleep, standing on the edge of something. Funny how it feels so much, you cannot say a word. We are screaming inside, oh, we can't be heard. But I will remember you. Will you remember me?
Thomas Hindman was born in Knoxville, Tennessee, on this date in 1828. He was a prominent attorney and Democratic politician prior to the Civil War. In the political crisis prior to that war, he was a major player in bringing about Arkansas secession. He subsequently served in the Confederate Army as a brigadier general, playing a prominent role in the defense of Arkansas and later serving in the Army of Tennessee. The Coast Guard was created by an act of Congress on this date in 1915. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
This is Ozarks at Large inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. To my left, Three Penny Acre.
Hi.
Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Kyle.
Would you like to start with a song?
Let's do it.
We would love to.
This is a Steve Earle tune called Pilgrim, and it's featured in Sundown Town. Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's Baird, Bernice, and Brian from Three Penny Acre. As you mentioned before that song, this is featured in Sundown Town.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
This is something new for Three Penny Acre. You are in, on stage, in a play.
Yes, it is. Very new.
We're actually more than on stage. We're in a barn loft. So we're like above stage.
Yeah, we have the bird's eye view of the stage. Yeah.
So once you get up there in that loft, you're there for the run of the play?
For the duration.
We're there.
Unless Baird falls out of the loft.
We hope he does not.
This is something that's quite different for a band, because when you were promoting Highway 71, you would go from town to town to town, different venue, different place you were sleeping every night. Now you're sleeping in your own beds, and you're coming to the same place for several nights in a row.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
It's a whole new concept. Yeah. It's like touring in your own town, you know, night after night after night. But yeah, you get your own bed, which is kind of cool.
And you've been going to the rehearsals.
Mm-hmm.
What's that like? What's a rehearsal like for Theater Squared?
Well, theater people rehearse a lot more than musicians.
It's true.
Yeah, we're keeping very long rehearsal hours.
Which is unusual for us.
Well, you know, we amass kind of a body of music over years, you know, and we can, we kind of work up a song maybe in a night, and we'll introduce it at the next night's show or something. But then in this context, you know, you're working on blocking and dialogue and how the music cues in, and you know, and music cues in a concert are different than music cues in a play, you know, and yeah. So we're learning the ropes on that, but it's many hours.
Or coordinating with a singer that's 20 feet away from you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Because you're also acting, you sing some songs, but then you're also sort of the band that performs music that's sung by members of the cast.
That's right.
We actually have no singing of Three Penny Acre while we're in this play. We are literally kind of the backup band for the show.
Chorus.
So we only sing when the chorus is in and we sing along with them. Yeah. So that's a different concept for us as well, is that we're a backup band for someone else who's on stage, like Baird said, 20 feet in front of you, and you're trying to get it all together. So that has been new for us.
Yeah. Has it been new for any of the cast members? Have they? Are there
Oh yeah.
Everybody.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think it is. Yeah. It's new ground for everybody involved.
It's like we woke up and our voices were hoarse and we said, Kyle, why don't you come out on the road and be our lead singer?
Oh wow.
And, you know, and so you got to spend some time massaging that and getting used to that. And in this instance, there are 9 lead singers, you know, and so there's not one main vocalist that takes a lot of the solos. There are solos, I think, from almost every character, you know, and then chorus, big chorus numbers. Mm-hmm. So whereas we're used to 3-part harmony, you get 9-part harmony on top of our music. It's really unique.
Safe to say this got you out of your comfort zone?
A little bit.
A little bit, but we're actually having a lot of fun.
It's going great.
It's good to get out of your comfort zone, right?
It is. Maybe not all the time.
Not all the time, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's been great for us. We're learning a lot about the way our music fits into the outside world and the way it can be incorporated into this play. It's been fascinating.
Do you think this experience will change at all how you play, how you write, how you perform?
That's a fantastic way to bring in this idea that Brian's had. When they first approached us about this play and told us what it was about, it was pretty powerful because Brian has this song that kind of sums up in a part a really big subject matter from this play. And so it really hit our hearts because we were so deep involved in the song that Brian was writing and just in the research of doing that song. And it just all surfaced at the same time. And so it was just meant to be for many reasons. Mm-hmm. And it really has shed a lot of light on the song for Brian to think about turning this into a whole new project just from this one song.
Yeah, you know, we write all these story songs, and the play is forcing us to think more of it as a character singing than as a balladeer telling the tale. And that, I think, changes maybe a little bit of the way that we approach a tune. And so that's been interesting to me.
I keep thinking back on a bunch of our songs and being like, any one of them could make a pretty neat play.
Yeah, it's true.
It makes us reflect on what we've written and realize, wow, there's a character there, you know.
Dust Bowl stuff.
Right. Yeah. This play, of course, is about race relations in a sundown town, which was a town where if you were a person of color, you shouldn't be.
That's right.
Sunset.
And the song that Bernice mentions that I'd just written a song. I grew up in Tulsa, and I'd just written a song about the 1921 Tulsa race riot. And so I'd written this song, and then within a couple of weeks, Theater Squared approached us and said, we've got this concept for this race, you know, play, you know, based in 1918 Arkansas.
Wow.
You know, and so that's what she meant. It really hit home. It seemed like we'd really been delving into that matter. We should play that song.
That would be wonderful.
This is a song that we have not recorded, and it seems to fit the theme of the play, but it's not in the play.
Have your coffee ready.
So in 1921 in Tulsa, it was basically a 36-hour period. It was the bloodiest race riot in U.S. history. And at the time, the community there, the African-American community in Tulsa, was the most affluent African-American community in the nation. And after that 36 hours was over, 35 square blocks of that community was burned to the ground. So I always preface this song in explaining, you know, imagine... And this is an issue, you know, as Americans, we don't have this in our kind of conscience. We don't know automatically, you don't think about this Tulsa moment. But imagine 1921 Harlem burned to the ground. the entirety of Harlem. And so that's kind of what I have in my mind, and I think we would all know that story.
The U.S. military firebombed it.
Well, yeah, there are some really outlandish accounts of, you know, World War I planes firebombing over this community in Tulsa. And I mean, it is a really horrific subject. And so, you know, we're maybe just trying to put this back into the American conscious a little bit and put that story out there. So this is called Tulsa 1921.
Rings out in the middle of the night. There's a dead man on Tulsa's north side. But there ain't nobody naming names except a newspaper man with an axe to grind. He says it's real simple, it goes like this. Black man gave white woman a kiss. So let's rise up and let's burn him down, 'cause there ain't no room for that in our town. But the truth is, this ain't about an embrace. It's just the age-old struggle to hold down a race. You had your Black Wall Street and millionaire Jews, Native nations worth billions in crude. Yeah, the oil flowed with opportunity thick. There were too many people and they were getting rich. And with some folks that don't sit too well, so one day that axe it fell. Well, the mob crossed Greenwood, Archer bound. They burned a Baptist church as Zion down. They were shooting left and they were shooting right. And the fire blocked the stars in the sky. There was blood in the streets and bodies everywhere. Yeah, the carnage left 35 blocks bare. And the paper said the dead 23, but there were 500 missing families. And the folks left standing, they split fast. All those dreams they were building reduced to ash. Teachers, doctors, lawyers, and preacher men had seen their fair share of blood and sin. And there was this thing about history that they understood, telling them to leave town while they still could. So if you're in downtown Tulsa and you're looking around, and you see the empty lots where the highways laid down, with all the semis and the cars passing through, you'll know that path was laid by a wrecking crew. And if you cross the tracks that separate that town, there's a mass grave buried in the ground. A disgrace they hid beneath the red dirt clay. And You'll hear nothing but a whisper today.
Wow. It's quite a story.
It is.
Did you learn that? You grew up in Tulsa.
I did.
When did you first hear about that event?
You know, growing up in Tulsa, I was a big Tulsa historian. I was very proud of Tulsa's history. You know, you walk around, you see these very grand buildings that were built during the oil boom, you know, these Art Deco buildings, these beautiful churches. So I was really into that. I'd walk downtown. It's now restored. You could see the Mayo Hotel, and it's now this beautifully restored hotel. And, you know, back in the day, it was like the epicenter of the world. During that time period, Tulsa had the busiest airport in the world. You know, people were coming in droves. It was really this economic center. So I got into that. And then as you start delving into that, there's an underbelly to it. And unfortunately, unfortunately, it's not really exposed. Or at the time, it wasn't. You know, this is in the late 80s, early 90s, and then mid 90s, early into the late 90s. Finally, there were legislative inquiry into the race riot, and there were talks of reparations, and they were really trying to dig into this. And so there was a lot of information coming out. And there were some really tough discussions about it, and it just stuck with me, you know, and it was really a tough subject to chew on. So I say, you know, that song took me 15 years to write. Mm. It was implanted in me, you know, when I was a teenager, and it took a long time for it to come out. And it's one of those things where, you know, I love Tulsa, and at the same time, there's this tension, it's come a long way. They now have dedicated a small little park.
Mm. They just did that last year.
Just this year, just a couple months ago, but there are some really interesting stories. The highway literally runs through what was Greenwood, which was this community, and there was a very famous African American surgeon, and if you go under the highway, you would find where his house was. Wow. And the story is he was shot down in his front yard, you know. And so there are these stories that just, as a kid, you know, it haunted me because, like, you have a pride for where you're from. But then if you learn that other side of it, you're in conflict.
Which I think is perfect for the Sundown Town story as well. Everyone takes pride in where they're from. And then there's this other side to the land that you're from that is maybe not so full of pride, and you can't swallow it very easily.
But it's better if the full story is eventually known.
Yeah, once you tell that story and get it out and have a conversation.
It's like making peace.
Yeah, you've made peace with it.
Exactly. Yeah, I think some people will definitely squirm in their seats a little bit with Sundown Town, and that's why it was written. I mean, it's definitely supposed to make you feel uneasy about some things that have happened, and the music in it really stirs that in you. And
Kevin Coey, the playwright, said he had the music first and then built the story around it. Is there truth that you're going to have some vinyl?
Yes, we are.
Soon?
We are. You know, one of the ideas that we had was we would kind of take our variation on a couple of these tunes. So, you know, earlier we played Pilgrim, and that's our version. It's actually sung by one of the actors. The character's name is Old Scratch. But we decided to put out a couple of tunes, and one of them is this traditional number, God's Gonna Cut You Down. And that's going to be the side A off of a vinyl that we're releasing. And the side B is going to be a cut off of Highway 71, our most recent album, and it's Sonny Brown, which is another one of our tunes that fits into the theme. So it'll be kind of a commemorative vinyl, you know, something that people can take home. And, you know, I play vinyl all the time, but, you know, if they want to play it, they can. But it'll just be something that kind of commemorates this collaboration.
Where will the vinyl be available?
At the show.
At the show.
We're actually releasing it at the show.
Oh my God.
We're going to have a little merch table, you know, and you'll have a chance to buy the vinyl there. And you can also purchase tickets. We're going to do a finale concert. And so you could purchase tickets to that concert. And, you know, we're just trying to make it, even though we're not singing all the tunes, we're trying to come in and have Three Penny Acre, what we do, be a part of it in some way.
And then later in the summer, the Roots Festival coming
back?
That's
right. Yeah, hopefully we'll come back and talk a little bit more about it. We're going to have the second annual Fayetteville Roots Festival. We had a great success this first year, and we're going to do it again. But we're going to do a three-day festival. And we're going to make it a little bigger and better. Same flair, though. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a lineup we're working on, and we'll release that really soon.
Baird, Bernice, Brian, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle.
As always.
Baird Blaine, Bernice Embry, and Brian Embry are Three Penny Acre. They're featured in Theater Squared's latest production, the world premiere of Sundown Town, which will open February 4th at Nadine Baum Studios in downtown Fayetteville. Their latest CD is titled Highway 71. You can learn more about the band at their website, threepennyacre.com. That's the number 3, pennyacre.com. And one more song, recorded in the Furman Garner Performance Studio, can be heard Sunday morning at 9 on Weekend Ozarks at Large. That's Sunday morning at 9 on KUAF. This week, Weekend Ozarks at Large is hosted by Ithi Agnihotri Madolkar. And next week, on the daily edition of Ozarks at Large, we'll hear from cast and crew of Theater Squared's Sundown Town. This is Ozarks at Large.
Hi, my name is Paul, your host for the Generic Blue Show, which airs every Friday night at 9 o'clock. Join me this Friday. We've got some new stuff from the Sugar Prophets, Andrea Marr, Big Joe and the Dynaflows. Also, some from Sun Seals, Taj Mahal, Greg A. Smith, Chick Willis, Joe Pitts, and a few others. And that's every Friday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you then.
This is Ozarks Large. Next, Garrison Keillor and today's edition of the Writer's Almanac. Remember, you can listen to classical music at any time on KUAF2. That's our all-classical station. You can listen through your HD radio or online at KUAF.com. KUAF2. For more information about the channel, you can also go to KUAF.com. Local support for Ozarks at Large comes from Walton Arts Center, presenting violinist Joshua Bell tonight. Joshua Bell, along with pianist Sam Haywood, will perform an evening of classical works including Brahms, Schubert, and Grieg. Tickets and more information still available at waltonartscenter.org or 443-5600. And Ozarks at Large is supported by Theater Squared, continuing its fifth anniversary celebration with the premiere of Sundown Town, Friday, February 4th, and continuing through February 20th at Walton Arts Center's Nadine Baum Studios. In this new classic featuring bluegrass and gospel songs, an African-American drifter wanders into a rural Arkansas town during the summer of 1918. Tickets and more information are available at theater2.org or 571-2728. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, Brashears, a listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. KUAF has proudly served as your source for NPR programming for the past 26 years. You can listen online at our website, KUAF.com. If you'd like to hear any of our editions of Ozarks at Large from the past several weeks, again, you can go online to KUAF.com. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. Don't forget, Weekend Ozarks at Large, Sunday morning at 9 with Ithi Agnihotri Madolkar. I'll be back Monday at noon with a brand new edition of Daily Ozarks at Large. Thanks for listening, and have a great Friday.